We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Breathe deep the gathering gloom. My goodness. Thank God the holiday is upon us. Time with family, time with friends. Just kind of a shame. Football means so much to us all. What was that? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm really a loss for words, and that's tough to do considering we're getting ready to go into the night. We're getting ready to roll. Maybe this is an opportunity for you. Maybe I'll just shut it down tonight. Do a little bit more listening as opposed to talking, because I'm lost here. I am absolutely, completely lost. And I spent all week previewing this game. I spent all week saying there's no way that San Francisco is going to be able to come out and run the ball the way they did on Monday night. They ran it 44 times. They passed it only 19 times. Huge upset victory over the Rams. Fifth in a row over Los Angeles. And I'm thinking, injuries in the backfield. You got to make Jimmy Garoppolo beat you. And what do? They run it for 171 yards. 42 carries. This is no way. I would never believe that. On the other side, you look at San Francisco. They're not a good run defensive team. They gave up 123 yards a game coming in. Jacksonville is going to be able to get lathered up and run right at San Francisco another week. And James Robinson is going to be able to, you know, find some holes and bam, like Lombardi on the chalkboard. Bam, bam, bam. Put a seam here, seam there, seam, and bam. No. Jacksonville, 16 carries, 54. I mean, it's like I know absolutely nothing about football. I spent all week just giving you the blueprint on how this game should play out. And what does San Francisco do? Drop a 20-play, 13-minute and 5-second drive on you to begin the game? I mean, once again, man, it was 17-0, what? And Trevor Lawrence had taken six snaps, a three and out. Then you get the ball. Laviska Shenault fumbles on first down. I mean, they're not good enough. You can't start that way. And, you know, I really don't even know where to begin. In 29 years of radio, I've never been so lost. I felt lost yesterday during the broadcast. It was by far my worst effort in 8 years as a sideline guy. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. The whole thing was a freaking nightmare. And, man, there are so many more questions right now than there are answers. You know, I sat here last week taking phone call after phone call from you, respecting the hell out of our social media, as this show does all the time, whether it's on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures, or whether or not it was on my Twitter feed at Ballew1010XL, explaining to you how I want some consistency, some continuity, develop some camaraderie, you know, keep Daryl Bevel, keep Brian Schottenheimer, keep all of these people in order, give another year for Trevor Lawrence with these offensive coaches, with this offensive system. You can add more. You can implement more. You can get him weapons. We can watch him mature. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, Ballew, what did you say last week? Did you see the crap that they put out there? I mean, it's time for you to give it up. You know, go, I don't know, try to solve world hunger. You know, go to politics. Do something along those lines, because you absolutely don't get it. So, yeah, if you've ever wanted to take a shot at me, tonight is the night. I want to openly apologize to every single one of my listeners for, even though I picked San Francisco to win the game, I thought it was going to be a 60-minute effort. I thought it was going to be one that you would feel satisfied with. I was hoping you were going to leave the bank yesterday and kind of look at your crony next to you and say, you know what? They fought hard. There's some good things. They need to add a couple of players. I can't play that nonsense with you tonight. I mean, no. That was absolutely pathetic. Absolutely atrocious. And that's that. There's really nothing else I can add to it than that. So again, I'm going to give you the opportunity tonight. I've told you, I've never had a drink in 29 years of doing radio before the show, because I've always considered myself a professional. Even after what I did last week, I think I'm back to amateur status. However, the paycheck says professional.
Right.
I'm tempted to reach for something right now. This early into the program. That's how bothered I am by what I witnessed. I mean, where's the pride? Where's the self-check? If you don't do a good job, damn it, you got to take responsibility for it. And yeah, I feel awful for the fans. And where do all these freaking San Francisco fans come from? I mean, I know it was only their third trip here to Duval, and they'd never won here before. But I'm driving in, and it's like a sea of red or whatever color that is. And, you know, I expect that with Pittsburgh. I expect that with Buffalo. I expect that with Green Bay. I expect that with the filth of Philadelphia. I didn't expect it with those wine sippers from the Bay. They came here each and every direction. And this isn't a shot at you, Jaguar fans. It's not. I'll never take a shot at you. Again, I'm giving you the opportunity to take a shot at me. If you would have listened to this show last week, you would have thought that I had absolutely no idea. You would have thought I was talking about Baylor TCU in a football game coming up. Okay? I mean, I'm really embarrassed by my performance. Both during the game yesterday and last week, to waste valuable airtime bringing up the things that I brought up, the points that I brought up, and to see what happened, it's like I'd never watched a football game in my life. That's all I can really say about it. We'll give you a full recap nonetheless, coming up, brought to you by our good friends at Miller Electric. Are you frustrated? Yeah, you're frustrated. You should be. One thing that I have seen this year more than any other year is my ability to notice that a change must happen. And it's often been in season. You know, let's go back about a month ago, okay, where I openly said, that's it. You got to get wide receivers. And I've never been a guy who wanted to use a top draft pick on a wide receiver, because in my opinion, if you look at it position-wise, it's nowhere near the top of what a team really needs. Well, that's changing. And we're seeing that every Sunday. Hell, we're seeing that on Saturday. I feel the same way now about keeping guys around for the reason that I gave you a little bit ago. Change has to take place. There's got to be quite a few now within this football team, and I don't know where they're coming from. Let's start from Urban Meyer the whole way down. I don't have a feel for anything right now. A week ago at this time, after the loss to Indianapolis, I would have absolutely sat here and said, my money is on Urban Meyer returning. I don't know if he's going to return. I watched him walk off the field with Trevor Lawrence the way he did yesterday. I listened to what he had to say during the post-game press conference. And, you know, for the record, I would like to see it work with Urban Meyer. I think he needs far more weapons. But the game plan is really an issue, especially on offense. And, you know, just to come out here and blame Darrell Bevell for everything, I think is a reach. It's tough to respond when you allow nearly a one-quarter drive. And that's what Jacksonville did to begin the game yesterday. But when you can't script it and you allow the opponent to go for 13 minutes and 5 seconds and you go 3 and out, I mean, I don't even know what, I mean, what else am I supposed to, that can't happen. That can't happen. You can't allow a 20-play drive and go 3 and out. I mean, run your best play. You've got to move the chains. You've got to give your defense an opportunity to rest. It's just insane. I mean, 3 and out. I want to look at this again. I got it down here. I brought all sorts of literature with me because I knew that I would be rattled tonight during this Monday. 20 plays, 13 minutes and 5 seconds, and they kick a field goal. And what the hell's going on with special teams? And I know in a lot of situations when it's field goals and whatever, you know, you keep your primary defense on the field. But you have 10 guys on the field, and you have a guy running in, and if San Fran snaps that ball, brother, they get it first and goal. Okay, and they're going to run a 21st and a 22nd and a 23rd play. How can you not have 11 guys on the field? How can you, during this 20-play drive, have a few times players looking over at the sideline with their hands up, wondering what it is they need to do? Andrew Wingard did it a couple of times. He's got his hands up. Jacksonville, after being down only 3-0, which in itself is absolutely amazing to me, how you can allow a 20-play, 13-minute and 5-second drive, and you only give up a field goal, despite being totally gassed, despite being totally exhausted, it still ended up being a win for the defense. They only allowed 3 points. And what does Jacksonville do? 3 and out. You took a minute 30 off the clock, and you put your defense right back on the field. An exhausted defense. What does San Francisco do? 7 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. You're down 10-0. You're probably down maybe a beer. Maybe a beer and a half. And it's 10-0 San Francisco. You get the ball, and on the very first play, you have a fumble by Laviska Shenault. And what does San Francisco do? They go 7 plays, 21 yards, actually 35 total yards, 21 aided by penalties, I may add, 21 of the 35, and it's a touchdown. So we're very early in the second quarter, okay? It's 21-0. It's 17-0 San Francisco. And the Jaguars offense has run 4 plays. Let me repeat that. 17-0 San Francisco. And your Jaguars have run 4. Not 5, not 6, not 7. 4 plays. That's what they gave you yesterday here in Duval. All right, we got a lot to do tonight. There's a chance that my head explodes during the next couple of hours. We're going to air it all out tonight. I've had it. And It's as simple as that. I haven't even gotten to the college game yet. Plenty of thoughts on that a little bit later on in the program. But I do want to give you the opportunity to hop on in tonight. 641-1010, that is the number right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Rick Ballew. Opening comments, as always, brought to you by my good buddy Lou Bodie. All right. Capital Financial Strategies. He's been a senior financial advisor for over the last 20 years. Give him a call at 626-7995. Free call, free consultation. Biggest mistake I ever made, not getting to Lou Bodie a couple of years ago. I watch my money grow. I don't care what's going on with the market. We talk strategy all the time. Aggressive, long-term goals, accounts, you know, for retirement, your kids going through school. Want to put them through college. Folks, you can't lose here. You can only win. Again, it's a free consultation. Watch your money grow. Give Lou Bodie a phone call. 626-7995. On the other side, Miller Electric. They bring us the Jaguars recap. Let's go into the night. My name's Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I feel a lot of anxiety bleeding through my headset right now. You're smack dab in the middle of Duval. Like to tell you to let it go. You know, it's only a game. There's going to be a winner. There's going to be a loser. Screw that. You should be pissed. I mean, that was atrocious. That was. I mean, I didn't think it could get worse in Seattle. I didn't think it could get worse in Houston. I think yesterday was worse. It's like being at a Milwaukee Hooters. Where you know, trying to find an attractive... Oh, never mind. I'm already on the cusp of being canceled. I used to go to the Milwaukee Hooters all the time, but nowadays, Ballew... You'll find yourself being a kitchen manager over there if you go to that analogy.
Oh, yeah.
Cancel.
So I'm just going to not even say it. Sometimes the best things that can be said are to say nothing at all.
That's what they told me.
Outside of Miller Electric. Maybe I'll apply there if I get the heave-ho. You know, I got a whole big, long life ahead of me. Miller career is sensational stuff. Happening right now as far as their employment. And coming up here in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you about a huge operation they got going on December 7th, an opportunity for you to get on out there and perhaps change your life. They're going to have a lot of fun with an orientation, a job fair, which I guess is the same thing, but that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. I'll tell you right now, though, what an unbelievable company, whether you look at churches, whether you look at hospitals, whether you look at the bridges, whether you look at schools, you look at downtown where the stadium is and everything they're going to build around it. It's all about Miller Electric. They've been around forever, and they are hiring right now all sorts of positions. Electrical construction estimators, you low-voltage system installers, obviously electrical foremen, electrical superintendents. Maybe you are a journeyman in the field of an electrician. Why not go over to the very best? Best pay in town, period. Best benefits in town, period. Best future, you know, as far as 401k and everything else that goes along with it, period. It's Miller Electric. Just go to Miller Careers and get everything on Miller Electric. All right, let's recap this one. And... it's just so incredibly frustrating. I'm trying to remain somewhat of a professional, but obviously I wear my emotions on my sleeve. And I'd love to say that this football team is getting better in an area. Quick, which one? I can't help you. I mean, the best player on the team, Logan Cook, wasn't even out for a punt yesterday, which is beyond, is just insanely frustrating. I mean, again, that can't happen. And it did. So I'm surprised they weren't able to run the football. And it makes you wonder whether or not James Robinson, you know, where is he? I watched him 3 weeks ago when he went down, try to get back on the field, try to push off the heel. He said he's got a hyperextended knee. 12 carries last week. I thought he got better as the game went along. Others said he still didn't have that burst that we have become accustomed to when it comes to James Robinson. Yesterday, there was just nothing open. I mean, you talk about D'Amico Ryans and a defensive game plan by San Francisco. They lined up yesterday and they said this: hey, Jacksonville, your wide receivers are garbage. You have a rookie signal caller in his 10th game. We'll take our chances. We're not going to let James Robinson in your ground attack beat us. Who cares if we give up 123 yards a game? Not today. Oh, short week, long trip. All that. Yeah, okay. Here it goes. Gap responsibility. You're not beating us with a run. You're going to have to beat us by throwing. And we saw what ended up happening. But it does make you wonder, what is up with James Robinson right now? Urban Meyer was asked about his health earlier today.
You know, I'm going to talk to him this week. We all love the guy, and he's tough as nails, and he doesn't say much, you know. So I just don't feel the same open field running that he showed, or, you know, when he was healthy. So we're going to, you know, we just want to do right by him and do right by us. So that's, you know, but he, you know, there's no one tougher than that guy.
No one's tougher. He's not 100%. And again, he had just a miserable day. Offensively, it was a terrible day. I mean, they had 125 yards offensively before the, you know, garbage time drive there late in the fourth quarter. Okay. You know, I'm looking ahead. I'm peeking here at some of my stuff on social media, and I'm getting a ton of questions like this. Isn't it time for Urban Meyer to take over this offense? Isn't he an offensive guru? It's time for Daryl Bevel to go. I've always maintained this, and I've been consistent about it over the years. I'm not a big fan of throwing bodies outside of the building during the season. I know that Florida just did it with Dan Mullen. I know that Virginia Tech just did it with Justin Fuente. All right? I don't like in-season firings unless it is absolutely the last resort. And right now, I just don't know what to make out of this offense. I get asked about it all the time, and I just can't put my finger on it. How much of this is on Daryl Bevel? I don't know. I'd love his honesty. And, you know, he meets with us every week, and I'm not calling him a liar, but coaches by trade learn how to give you canned answers, and, you know, they're going to protect they're going to protect everything by saying kind of what you expect them to say. The truth comes out off the record. The truth usually comes out after the season. Maybe you're on a golf course, you're having a couple of cocktails and a cigar, and that's when you hear this, and that's when you hear that. Right now would be a great time to hear what Doug Marrone actually thought of the Coughlin-Caldwell situation. Right now would be a great time to hear from Caldwell as what it was like to work with Coughlin, and vice versa. I mean, every single one, you usually don't get it while it's happening because these individuals are smart. They're professionals. They want to look for another job. If you fire Daryl Bevel tomorrow, he's going to get himself another job at some point. He may have to take a step backwards and, I don't know, become a quarterback's coach again, or come, you know, become a position coach again, and then end up, you know, maybe in college as a coordinator. Or, hey, for all of the, you know, Dan Mullen needs to be the Jaguars offensive coordinator right now. Pump the brakes on that one, will you? Holy Toledo. The guy just looked like he didn't even want to be at Florida. Seriously. The guy looked like he was a quitter. I mean, I got ripped back during the bowl game, after the bowl game, when he came out with honestly one of the most absurd comments I have ever heard any coach say, when he said, oh, the 2020 Florida Gators played their last game 8 days ago, whatever the hell it was. It was open admittance of quitting. And he's your leader. He's your general. He admitted that they quit. And they look like they quit 2 days ago against Missouri. I mean, you have the ball at the 30 with 1:05 to go, and you have an opportunity to drive the field and kick a field goal, at least attempt it, and you take kneel downs. So just relax on that one for a little bit, all right? I mean, after all, every third email I get or third text I get is the obligatory, they never should have hired Urban Meyer. He's never been a head coach in the National Football League. So now you're going to bring in one of his buddies to be an offensive coordinator? He's never been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Dan Mullins used to mismatches with his talent and his wide receivers and his skill guys. He can find his way through 8 or 9 out of the 12 defenses that they face a year. That's not the deal here. It's a totally different animal. Damn, you people are drinking eggnog this early. Slap yourself, Dan Mullen, the offense. He's never done it before. If you want to tell me he's going to be a quarterback coach, okay, then I get that. But you think he's just going to start calling plays? Man, I thought it was a smart fan base. I really did. I always had you for that. I always had you for smart. I can't believe some of that stuff that I've heard in the last 24 to 48 hours. But I'm getting all this Urban needs to take over the team. Urban needs to take over the team. It doesn't appear that he's doing much at all when it comes to this offense. It's Daryl Bevel upstairs. It's Brian Schottenheimer on the field. And right now, you're just not getting anything at all that is close to being consistent. Let's go back to Urban Meyer. Asked again about the James Robinson injury and how he believes that's the major reason why the offense has been struggling.
You know, it's our obligation to get, he's one of our better players, get him the ball. So that's something that I'll address here today. It's been more than that. It's been 4 weeks, actually, ever since I thought Miami, there was a lot of promise, a lot of good things being done. Before that, I saw steady improvement when James got, if you remember right, he had 2 big runs in the Seattle game and he comes out. So I don't want to put it all on him because he's obviously a very valuable member. But whenever someone goes down, someone else has to pick up that flag and go harder. And we're not getting that right now.
You know, Agnew goes down. That's a brutal injury. He's lost for the year and I hate it. We saw him get 3 counters a week ago. We saw Chenault get 2 carries. Unfortunately for Visca, he missed an open hole. He doesn't have the vision. I think he just loves contact. But that was disappointing. I would have liked to have seen him get some burn yesterday. You know, Carlos Hyde, after getting 21 carries a few weeks ago, basically hasn't gotten the football. So they seem to be lost right now when it comes to running. And, you know, I also understand, and you understand, that when the game goes the way that it did, when you lose an entire quarter, it changes your game plan. It changes the way that you have to do things. And, you know, I already lost my mind on that 3-and-out after a 20-play drive. I mean, defensively, they gave it their all. They're exhausted. I don't care if they work out in this stuff. You can't be on the field 20 plays plus a couple of penalties. I mean, you're done. basically after one quarter. And I thought Joe Cullen did a decent job, you know, trying to rotate some of his players. And then you add the injuries to it. You know, Cisco finally gets an opportunity. He bangs that groin on special teams. Then he nicks it again when he's in there defensively. Tyson Campbell for the first time goes down with a shoulder. I don't know what to make out of Rayshon Jenkins. He's one of your defensive captains. He's one of your leaders. He's popped off now three or four times. And when you're looking at this guy in a leadership role, you got to get better than – you have to be better than that. We understand he's frustrated. But you've got to be a professional. So that's alarming. And then Shaq Griffin, you know, is in the concussion protocol. He can't return. It's just one injury after another. So all of a sudden, this football team, you know, is really beaten up. You have two more holding calls on Juwan Taylor. What's going on there? He's getting ready to go to the final year of his rookie deal. This guy's sitting on a gold mine. All he's got to do is be an average tackle in the NFL, and he's going to get paid. He's going to get a contract at the end of the 2022 season that will set him up for the rest of his life. And right now he's blowing that. That's five holding calls in the last three games on Juwan Taylor. I mean, I have conversations with people all the time about this. That offensive five, right now, in my opinion, the only one who's definitely back next year is Ben Barch. You can make a case that Linder doesn't return. Oh, they love him. Oh, he's the greatest guy ever. Like a son. He's hurt. He's always hurt. Norwell's had a good year. You're going to spend all that money on him, okay, for a left guard. Cam Robinson earned top tackle money. That's what he's going to ask. He's not going to give you a hometown discount. I'm sure he's upset that he had a franchise tag put on him. You know, he escaped a massive bullet yesterday. He went down that same knee that was totally reconstructed a couple of years ago. I'll give it to him. He toughed it out. I watched the entire situation. He was in pain. He went back out there. Walker Little. Ugh. Looked like he was playing in quicksand. AJ Cann's gone. Yeah, we'll agree on that. And then you get the Juwan. So, I mean, are you going to replace three-fifths of this offensive line? You're going to replace four-fifths of this offensive line? Now, I talk to others who say, whoa, Ballou, they're going to re-sign Cam, give him $15, $16 million a year. They're going to they're going to keep Linder around. When healthy, he's the greatest center around. They're going to keep Norwell. You know, he gives you, you know what he gets. So maybe they all do come back. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, it's like that old game. I used to take my kids to Chuck E. Cheese and take them to, you know, stuff like that when they were little and they loved it. Remember that one game you take a hammer and the heads pop up and you pop it. Yeah. And then as soon as you pop that head back into the machine, another one pops up. That's right. The way I feel about the Jaguars. As soon as you feel like you fix something, there all of a sudden becomes another major problem.
Yeah.
And it's like here we are midway through the year, and I don't even know where to begin with this team. I wish I could point and say, that's a positive, that's a positive, that's a positive, that's a positive. If I was to do that to you right now, I'd be lying, and I don't lie. Okay? Trevor Lawrence is regressing. Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, is now for the first time beginning to show signs of frustration. That was evident yesterday when he just took that ball and fired it into the ground because there was pressure on him immediately. And, you know, there's part of me that likes to see that. You should get it out of you. You can't always remain the consummate professional. You should show you know, some frustration. And that's really the first time that I have seen it, and I pay very close attention to those things. All right, I need to take a break. I need to get you involved. I really do. I just, man, I feel for you. The holidays are here. You know, is it too early to start looking into the draft? The draft, you know, right now Jacksonville selects third. Is that where this franchise is with seven games remaining? Seven. I mean, seriously, is it at that point where, hey, Baloo, here's what needs to happen. Lose them. Try to get up to number two. You're never going to catch Detroit. And make some changes. Make some coaching changes. Let go of a lot of overpriced veterans. Try to do a better job retooling. I mean, is that, seriously, is that where you're at? I wouldn't blame you if that is where you are. I'm just asking. I never dreamed that I would mention the draft on the 22nd day of November. And I just did, with 7 weeks to go. Thank you to Miller Electric. They got some great stuff coming up, including a huge job fair December 7th from 4 to 7 at Miller Electric. It's right off of South Point Parkway. Check out everything. Just go to MillerCareers.com. That's MillerCareers.com. If you're experienced, they got electrician jobs right now paying between $30 to $34 an hour. Okay? Great benefits. So you've got, if you have experience or you're looking to get experience, they certainly have that as well. Apprenticeship programs, formal training, and on-the-job instruction. You really should take in this job fair. It's coming up on Tuesday, December 7th from 4 to 7 at Miller Electric Company. Again, for all the details, just go to MillerCareers.com. We got much more to do. We go till 8 tonight with RJ Saunders. I'm Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, have a great week. A lot of folks getting out early, right? Great time of year. Thanksgiving. We'll be with you tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Off Thursday and Friday. And back here for the game. Sunday, Atlanta. Boy, they're bad. You know, I just, yeah, that's the other side of this that I think what is really frustrating for myself, I won't mention anyone else in the media. I'm not going to speak for them, but, you know, I'm supposed to know a little something about what it is that I do. And if you put a gun to my head right now or drop $10,000 on the table and said, who wins the game Sunday between Jacksonville and Atlanta, people, I have no clue. None. And, you know, there's always upsets. That's why you play the game. But for the most part, you have an idea. You have a feeling. You know, Tampa Bay plays New York tonight. Call me crazy. I think Tampa Bay wins. You know, I mean, you look at it. You spend time, lots of time. I spend lots of time reading, studying, watching. And then I form my opinion. And then I couldn't be more wrong. Well, I did pick San Francisco. But I thought they'd win by a field goal, not 30 to 10. So I imagine a lot of people are having problems with that. I mean, look what happened again yesterday. You had, on Sunday, you had four divisional leaders lose in the NFL. 2 weeks ago, you had five divisional leaders lose. Every one of those divisional leaders in the NFL that lost 2 weeks ago, came to someone who was either in the bottom feeder position within their division or had a losing record, including San Francisco, who was, what, 3-5 at the time when they beat L.A. Now they knock off Jacks. All of a sudden, San Francisco has won 2 in a row, and they're 5-5 in the division. So, hey, there's parity all over the place. It's hard to, week in, week out, get most of them right. That's another thing, too. I mean, listen, I have the Philly Godfather on for you, Rafael Esparza. I have the Philly Rooster. I have all these guys on because I love gaming, and I've always been a big fan of it. Every time I give you the, hey, I don't bet anymore, there's always people that kind of look at me with a wink. It's the God's honest truth. I do not bet. I don't have an edge. I don't have an itch. And I tell you something right now. I feel for you people who bet a lot of money. How can you trust the damn officials today? Seriously. How can you trust the officiating, whether it's on a Saturday or Sunday? I mean, we just watched a World Series, or I should say a Major League Baseball playoff, that was atrocious, particularly with home plate umpires. It totally affected the LA-San Francisco series on that bogus check swing that was called strike three. Totally changed game four of the Boston-Houston series on a strike three call that wasn't. And then the floodgates opened up. Oh, and people, oh, that's just human error. That's baseball. It didn't matter which game. I mean, I mentioned earlier to Frangie, he thought I was getting to Florida State. I actually took a lot of heat from Florida State fans because I didn't, for the most part, kill the officials on Saturday. Because I hate being the guy for your team who kills officials. There's really nothing worse than that. But it doesn't matter what game I'm watching. The Alabama game. Hell, that Miami game against Va Tech that night. They got that wrong. That was a safety. I mean, I could see it from the bar. You could see. I mean, they just get it wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. But what is it going to take? You've already blown an NFC championship game. Of course, you blew an AFC championship game as well, but no one remembers that. Outside of Duval with Miles Jack. It just doesn't matter. It's going to take a major team to get screwed in the biggest of games. It's going to take Alabama getting screwed in a national championship game. It's going to take, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys getting screwed in a Super Bowl. I'd like to say Tampa, but if Brady got screwed, there's so many detractors, so many haters out there that would be fine. You know, it's going to take, I don't know, maybe it's going to take Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City to get screwed. I'm just saying, I mean, I know officials have always been a problem, but I said it to Frank and Hayes and Lauren as we got going tonight. I can't ever remember a year for the life of me that in-game coaching and officiating has been as bad as what we have seen in the last couple of years in any sport. You feel that way in the NBA? Or are you okay with it? You think they do a good? I think it'd be very hard to officiate in the NBA. It's such a fast-moving sport.
Right, but the way they're officiating now in the NBA, it seems like they have slowed down a lot of players who took advantage of officiating last year. Guys like James Harden, guys like Damian Lillard, guys who used to know those little tips and tricks of how they could get the refs to call fouls to where they could go to the line 14, 15, 16 times
that.
A game. And now they've changed it, and guys like James Harden is now trying to figure out how he can be effective on the floor when what he used to do last year is not now being called this year. So it's now been, you know, a totally different game as far as officiating goes. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like the NBA has done an okay job. I think, you know, what, 90% of the time you're going to get it right as an official. But there are going to be those hiccups.
I wish it was more like the NHL. The NHL wastes no time. They pick up the phone. They go to Toronto. And they say, look at the television screen. What do you see? The officiating in the National Football League is awful. And they have two incredible bits of technology that they can use, and they do not. You can call New York, and you have the instant replay official in the press box. And they still get it wrong time and again and time and again. It is the worst that I have ever seen. You know, I used to think always if I could change one thing in sports, it would be the college football playoff and expand it. I think if I could change one thing in athletics right now, I would change the entire operation when it comes to officials, referees, and umpires. That would be my goal. Make it full-time. Make it a job that people covet. Pay them. Pay them a ton of money. And bring in the very best. Not a lawyer, not a businessman, not an insurance agent who comes in for the game. I don't want to get into age discrimination, okay? But you need younger, former players. And I know that's the whole conversation about, oh, do they hold a grudge? Are they going to hold a grudge to this team because this team cut them? Or are they going to hold a grudge to that team because he got injured facing that team? Well, you know, there's no accountability for these officials. They get it wrong, and they don't face the fire after the fact. It's the only profession that I'm aware of where you're not called out for doing a bad job. Everything else that we do, we get called out for. You do in your workplace, I do in my work. Oh, they're going to talk to a pool reporter. Mm-hmm. They should have a press conference just like the players and the coaches. So I hope that changes. And right now I can see it. I mean, young kids don't strive to want to be a referee. But if you make it where it pays greatly and it's rewarding, I think that'll change. Second hour's coming up. My name's Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, I have overshot the runway here tonight. Totally unprofessional. Not being a smartass, I've totally overshot the runway. 7 minutes past seven. How are you doing, RJ Sarnes? I feel like I haven't even talked to you, man. I've just been going a little bit crazy tonight. I just feel so bad for these Jaguar fans. You know what I learned during this first hour?
What?
That even if I do get canceled.
Which you won't.
I try to be smarter than that, but sometimes, you know, there's an analogy here, an analogy there that I want to give, and I'm like, should I do it, Blue? I mean, come on. You don't have to. You know, you got mouths to feed. You got people you're responsible for. But the microphone is a drug. It really is. I feel so much better now than I did at 6 o'clock. And even if I do get the plug pulled on me, I'm going to put a microphone in my office. I don't know if I'll do a podcast or anything like that. Just have that microphone there. You know, like the old guy who yells at clouds?
Oh, yeah. Talks to himself?
That's what I'm going to turn into. I'm just going to have the mic there and pretend that I'm still on. And I got thousands and thousands listening. And I'm going to get everything. I mean, some people go and work out. You know, they bench press. They go. I just get it all out here with the microphone. It's such an unbelievable drug.
Absolutely. Being able to vent towards other Jaguars fans, them being able to vent back to you on our text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. It's give and take. Give and take. Fans appreciate that.
I want to make love on the air. You know
now,
what I mean?
I don't know if you want to go that far.
I mean that.
I mean, at least let me be out of the studio.
Figuratively speaking, okay. I want to be happy.
Right.
I want to sit here and say that, man, it's on the up and up. It's on the come. This thing's happening. Great news. And I could see it. I can hear it. You know, I want that. I want something to be so incredibly positive. I'm so damn blessed to do what I do. I mean, I'm so lucky. But people, it is so hard to try to... I can't put a spin on things. I'm just not a spin guy. When things suck, they suck. And, you know, I wish I, in a way, could find a way to massage it. But I'll never not tell the truth to the listeners. Just hope it doesn't cost me. If so, I'm setting that up. I may set it up in my bar. How, you know, how like one of those mics that maybe I can press a button and have it like come out only when I do it,
okay.
And then kind of put it away so it doesn't get all dusty,
right,
and all that,
right,
type of stuff.
Right. I mean, yeah, maybe you should think about also doing a podcast. There's probably people that want to hear you, you know, at other times talk about, you know, other sports or...
Well, Hayes and I do our...
Right?
Death, Taxes, and Duval. Maybe I'll do one on Hard Rock and Serial Killers.
You could do it on that. I mean, there are those who want to hear you talk hockey and baseball longer. So, I mean, you know, maybe you can do that as well. Like Blue After Dark or something.
Ovechkin's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record. He's going to break it all on open net goals.
That doesn't make him the greatest of all time, does it?
No one will ever be better than Wayne Gretzky, but Ovechkin's a totally different player. He's big. He's physical. He goes into the corners. He's more of a Gordie Howe type as opposed to Wayne Gretzky, who was the ultimate cherry picker, but was also, you know, really developed a new style of hockey with his ability to set up plays from behind the opponent's net. There's never been anything like him prior, and there's never been anything close to him after. His vision. But you know what Wayne Gretzky had? He had unbelievable teammates.
Right.
He had guys like Yari Curry and Mark Messier and Glenn Anderson and Paul Coffey. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Now, did he help make them better? Sure. But he had tremendous talent. And, you know, I still believe that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great quarterback. I really believe that. But you've got to have everything well-oiled. You've got to coach to his strengths. You've got to make it easier on him. Again, you watched the game on Thursday night. Look at what Josh McDaniels, look at what the New England Patriots did for Mac Jones. I hear all the time, well, Mac Jones doesn't have any great wide receivers. Are those no-name wide receivers getting open? Yes. How are they getting open? They're true professionals. They run sharp, crisp, disciplined routes. They do not make mistakes out of fear of losing their job. They do a lot of crossing patterns, a lot of rub routes, a lot of illegal to legal picks. They are phenomenal on defense, and they are incredible on special teams. I mean, there you go. That's why. So, you know, again, if you're wasting your time saying, well, you know, if Jacksonville had Mac Jones, they'd be this, and you know, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels had Trevor Lawrence, you know, they wouldn't be 7-5. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you really believe that? New England's a better team than Jacksonville. New England also doesn't make mistakes like Jacksonville. Again, you can't compare these two organizations. Bill Belichick is 29 wins away from tying Don Shula for the most wins in the history of the NFL. He's won 6 Super Bowls. Josh McDaniels is a phenomenal offensive coordinator. You can't compare that to what's going on here. You just can't. But people are doing it. And, you know, it's disappointing. So, my God. Look at all of this stuff coming in. My gosh. Blue, you were right about younger officials. No ageism. That's not going to go over well. That's not going to work. Okay? But with the NHL is the worst. They literally call no penalties in the playoffs, and that's completely a different sport. Well, okay, there's truth to that. They swallow the whistle midway through the third in a tied game. That's an unwritten hockey rule. You know, the only thing I could compare that to is a Hail Mary in the NFL or college football that regardless, I mean, you could pull a guy's pants down and they're not going to call a defensive pass interference. But you're right about that. That's from the 2009. 7601, Blue, Gotsis has got held. I saw it. I haven't looked at the film yet. I just couldn't. There's just no way I could look at that film today. There's just no way. But I saw this play. Gotsis got held on a play in the first half. Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out today as one example of how bad the officiating is getting and how bad it was in the Jags game. It was twice as bad against Indianapolis. The officiating right now is as bad as it has ever been. You're exactly right about that. 7601. 65-59, Baloo, they get it so obviously wrong to the officials that this is why people think it's rigged. Well, that goes back to my comment I said earlier. I really feel for you people who are, you know, taking money you don't have out of your pocket and embedding it when you have to trust these officials. I'm telling you, man, state laws are going to get involved. This could get federal. Every day that we wake up, let's knock on wood, we are more and more in bed with legal sports gambling. And officials have an incredible amount of say on it. And there were some books last year that paid out to people who lost because the calls were so blatantly wrong, they didn't want a chance losing those guys to another book. Just mark my words on this. There is going to be a major, major something that I don't know about lawyers and I don't know about filing motions and appeals and all this, but I'm telling you, you've got legal gambling now. I mean, it seems like every month we hear another state has come on board. And you're going to have a call that is so obvious and so many millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars are going to change hands. And the whole world's just going to look at it and say, they got the call wrong. And this has happened many times before. Where you're going to see the government get involved in this. I'm telling you, it's going to happen someday. You'd almost like to see it happen in like a Super Bowl just to force a change. Sometimes it's got to get so bad that forces a change. And maybe it's the most obvious call in the world that affects the outcome of a Super Bowl. And that's where it actually comes to fruition. I don't know. We'll see. Keep it here.
The Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Very proud to be a part of the broadcast yesterday that dedicated the game to our fallen friend Scott Kushner. Wish the result was better, but he was missed yesterday and will be missed in the future. Outstanding man, 43 years of age. We attended his service on Friday, and he meant a lot to us all. So I thought it was very cool that that was a decision that was made to recognize him pregame and postgame. And the dedication went out there again. I thought it was a better, was hoping it would have been a better product. But we're going to miss you an awful lot, Scott. No doubt. Really would have liked to have seen him yesterday because he's the type of guy that would make you smile a little bit, you know, even after such a bad game. The 2009, okay, Baloo, be honest. How many players in the how many players are the Jags away from being decent? You know what? It's not nearly as many as you think. Seriously. The defense is better. Now, you can't start a game and allow a 20-play drive. And I know your reaction is going to be, well, Blue, isn't that on the defense? Don't they have to get better? Then they have two penalties on third down. Okay. They need help in the secondary. You need at least one corner. You know, if you look at, but forget about the defense. You need to address your offense. You need 2 to 3 wide receivers. That's what you need. So I'm not going to sit here and say your 53-man roster, oh, you need to bring in 20 new players. No, you need 5 or 6 really good football players. And hopefully one is on the shelf in ETN. So you need to go out and get 2 fast wide receivers. I would spend, I would overspend for Davante Adams or the kid who's playing tonight, Godwin, or whoever. I mean, I saw Colston redid a deal, so he's going to be off the board. And then maybe take a flyer on a guy that can just flat run. And then you got to address it in the draft, and you're going to have to go right to it. And unfortunately, this isn't the year that Jacksonville that, you know, you want to lose all these games, so they're selecting second, third, or fourth. Right now, if the draft was this weekend, they'd be selecting third. There isn't a wide receiver who projects that high. Boy, those Ohio State wide receivers, they are sick. All 3 of them. But they're farther down. But, you know, just honestly, I would say they are 2 to 3 wide receivers away. I'm going to say they're 2 offensive linemen away. And I'd love to tell you that Walker Little is one of those 2. And he could be. Hey, listen, Ben Bartsch made marked improvement in a year. And he got blown away a little bit yesterday. But it was the first sack he's allowed. I think they're upset at tight end. How could they not even throw a ball to Dan Arnold yesterday? The guy's come in and he's been a star. Yeah, he's dropped a few. How did that happen? I think they're fine at running back if ETN can play. So that's it for me. 2 really good wide receivers and a couple of offensive linemen. On defense, you need another pass. You need at least one more pass rush end. You know, Dewan Smoots had a really good year. Josh Allen again yesterday, what, 10 tackles, 1 for loss, 1 forced fumble. He's having a Pro Bowl season. They could use another guy off the edge. It feels like Kalyvon Chase on in limited snaps is, you know, a better player against the run than he is sicking the quarterback. I know he'd only given you like 13 plays a week ago. How many did Chase on get yesterday? I thought he got a little bit more burn. He did. He got 29. So,
when you talk about,
still think they need another pass rush end. Yeah.
So when you talk about pass rush ends, you said like the Jaguars select third. Would you draft Thibodeau?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. You have to.
Okay.
I mean, if you have an opportunity to get a game changing pass rush end, I mean, great pressure. We saw it last night in that game with Bosa on one side and, you know, Hayward on the other. Even though Haywood can play inside, you know, it's like Calais being here. I mean, you just, and I watched Thibodeau. Oregon got just pounded by Utah. Oh, my God, that game wasn't even close. So, I'm going to say 2 to 3 wide receivers, 2 offensive linemen, 1 rush end, and at least 1 corner. That's 3, 4, 5, you know, I'm talking 6 or 7 players. I'm being very kind to the defense, but I also want you to understand that my thinking on this has changed. You need to outscore opponents. Great teams outscore opponents. There are teams that are going to go deep into the playoffs. There are teams that are going to win their division, get to the Super Bowl that allow points. Listen, we talked about this great Buffalo defense 3 weeks ago when they came into town. Look at Buffalo. What have they lost now? 3 out of 4? They're not even in first place in their division anymore. New England is.
Yeah.
You know what's the biggest point differential in the NFL right now? New England. A few weeks ago, they were saying Belichick can't coach
right
without Tom Brady.
Right.
Now that switched to Jacksonville made a mistake. They should have selected Mac Jones. And I don't believe that. Put guys around them. You can't this year. I don't know what they tried to do. We'll never know. They don't have to tell us. I think Urban Meyer was truly hurt by the fact that he couldn't wine and dine these players. Bring them in and say, this is what we have to offer to you. He's so used to that in the world of college football recruiting. Those days are done. We have a 48-hour window of legal tampering where the entire conversation is put into place by the team and the player's agent. If they want Davante Adams, you need to give him an offer that he's not going to get anywhere else. And say, come to Jacksonville. Look at, I don't care if it's 17, 18, I don't care what it is. You're going to have to break the bank. And say, you're the number one target for Trevor Lawrence. Come here. No state tax. How much is it going to cost to get? How much guaranteed money to, and sign them? You can't try to fit in a guy here and fit in a guy there. I used to think that way. I'm wrong. The league has changed. You have to get at least 2 explosive wide receivers. You got to address it in free agency, and then you got to turn right around and address it in the draft. You have to give Trevor Lawrence weapons. The Jamal Agnew injury hurts because he's learning his craft. He's a DB by trade that was supposed to be a return man only. And yeah, he had drops in consecutive weeks, won a touchdown, but he still was doing some really good things. And Daryl Bevell was starting to use him. I thought better with the 3 carries he had against Indianapolis. He had 1 carry before the injury yesterday. But Agnew at best to me is a number 4. Marvin Jones, you know, we saw that final drive. That was a garbage drive. There were backups in for San Francisco. They were in prevent. You're not going to have success. I mean, for any of you who think, oh, well, you know, look what they did there late in the fourth. Why couldn't they? Well, it's a totally different scheme. It's a totally different deal. San Francisco's on their heels as opposed to being on their toes, like they were earlier in the game. So you can't base anything on garbage time. And I really like Marvin Jones Jr., but I think at best, he's for the 2022 Jaguars, he's a number 3. And Chenault, who I really, really want to see make it, I think he's a number 5. I think he's a slot receiver that you can maybe line up in the backfield. His route tree is not nearly as expanded as I thought it would be. He made a really good grab yesterday. You know, maybe one of the better grabs in his career in a year and a half. But, you know, we're all going to remember the fumble and just how costly that fumble was. Who knows? They may need a kicker, too. I think we'll find out in the next 7 weeks whether or not Matthew Wright is here for the long period of time or not. You know, I'd like to see him make it. You know, makes sense financially. So, yeah. Two with three receivers, two offensive linemen, a pass rush, and in another corner. That's my way of looking at this team. And isn't that amazing? You get really good players at those positions, this thing could turn around in a heartbeat. Because there are some good football players on this team. There's not a lot of great football players, but there are some good players on this team. Let's take a break. I like their front seven. I do. I think Damian Wilson plays good football. I think Adam Gotsis plays good football. Malcolm Brown, Roy Robertson Harris has played the best football of his Jaguars career the last couple of weeks. DeJuan Smoot is underrated. I think their front seven, outside of one rush guy, is good enough. You need, the Cisco injury hurt too because you wanted to see what he could do. Campbell's gotten better. All right, he got toasted on that third down yesterday. I'll give you that. But I think he's been playing better football. So, got a lot of time to evaluate this, but that's my whole thing on it. This team is not as far away as you would think, based on what you saw yesterday. You just have to get key players at key positions.
The Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a couple of questions in on the text line, 641-1010 on DJ Chark. Here's where I'm at with DJ Chark. I wouldn't re-sign him because I think he's going to ask for too much. You know, I keep seeing, what would it be, a one-year show-me deal or a prove-it deal. Those things don't always work out that way. He was clearly unhappy during the Gardner Minshew era. Hadn't had enough of an opportunity to really see what he's all about here with Trevor Lawrence. The deal for me, and Brandon Linder comes into this equation, if you have a history of being hurt, I'm going to move along from you. And Chark's been hurt 3 of his 4 years. Love him. Well, tremendous young man. But I'm looking at this business anyway. A business deal, that's it. Now, here's the only way that I could be swayed. If you go out and get a great receiver, if you go out and get Davante Adams or a Godwin and overspend, and then you want to bring back Chark, okay. And your thinking is, in the draft, you take the best possible player that is available. I mean, it could be Stingley as a corner if he's healthy, or Thibodeau, whoever it is. That scenario, I can live with. But if you're trying to tell me that you are going to re-sign DJ Chark and then draft a wide receiver, no. No. Not for me. Because you have to put an asterisk by Chark and look at him as a guy that absolutely could miss significant time with injury. He's done it 3 or 4 years. That's my opinion there. All this Mullen stuff, I kind of got off that. I've been doing Jags, man, a lot of stuff here. Appreciate I was on the TV. This is from the 1072. Being coached by the play caller, no wonder he's confused. That's too stupid. Most people don't understand Trevor's been, I'd like to see him make it the offense a little bit more Trevor-friendly, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that does to you. You know, I hate the fact that it looks like Ballou, how about running an offensive line to Clemson or the health-to-skelter type Chiefs offense? No, you can't run anything like the Chiefs offense. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the only guy who can do that, and look at his weapons. I would like to see some more RPOs. I think losing ETN is a big blow, even though he's known it. He's been down forever. I think that that is, you know, is part of the reason here. I absolutely needs to be a part of this. Hey, Ballou, do you have conversation about how garbage Trent Baalke is as a GM? Oh, I forgot. According to you, Baalke has nothing to do with the current roster, recent draft included. I think I've gone back and forth with this guy before about the timing of Trent Baalke. And when he came in a couple of years ago, it was in February, right? And he didn't take part, really, in that draft. That was my comment. Actually spoke an awful lot about Trent Baalke. Only four guys on the San Francisco roster were still there. I was going to do a big hit on it during game day, but the game just went freaking sideways and never got an opportunity to do it. So get back to me later there. That's Jeff. Think I'm buddy-buddy with Trent Baalke. Some of these I just can't read. Funny stuff. You people are funny. No doubt about it. Love Chark, but the time is up. Draft Olave. Man, I would love it if they got Olave. I mean, more than anything on this team right now, if you could get Davante Adams and Olave, you become that much better. I mean, you've got to get guys that are playmakers. I want guys that can just flat burn. And, you know, Davante Adams at 29 is not what he once was, but he is so incredible. He is so savvy. He finds ways to get open. We're not seeing that on this roster, but we also need to see guys that can run. It's going to be a very interesting combine. You know, the kid who went out for USC who was putting up phenomenal numbers. I want to say he was already close to like 100 receptions. Boy, what happened to your Trojans against UCLA, man?
Got bad booty.
They got worked.
Hish.
I want to see what he can run. You know, I don't want to be drafting no 4.5, you know, none of that nonsense. I went back and looked at Chenault. I think it was a 4.58. You got to get guys that can flat burn. Here's one, just don't grab Michael Thomas. I agree with you from the 56-33. He's had too many injuries lately. I'm not bringing in guys who can't get on the field. The only other side of this is, and, you know, I can make a guess on it, but I honestly don't know how much of it is to blame. How much of this is scheme? How much of this is development or the lack thereof? I mean, our guy Jason Lockenfora came out with a piece, you know, saying that there's going to be plenty of coaching changes on the offense. Listen, I see all sorts of things. There are problems with the offense. The effort is there to coach, to teach. But there are issues. There are absolutely, I would expect, changes on the offense. And I don't think that that should be a surprise really to anyone at this particular point. I mean, he mentions Bernie Parmalee. Okay, the running backs. Well, what else could you expect these running backs to do? I mean, Carlos Hyde gave you 21 touches a couple of weeks ago. That that was, you know, I mean, he had the fumble, but that was good stuff. And, you know, Robinson, outside of him, you're going with Jamal Agnew, you had to be going with Jamal, and you're going with LaVisca Chenault. So if you just want to blow up the running back situation, this isn't like Tyron Wheatley a few years ago where Fournette and Yeldon sat on the bench, and then the game in Nashville where he told Carlos Hyde to go back in the game, and Carlos Hyde would not go back in the game. I don't see the lack of respect and complete chaos that happened there. I just don't think you have the running backs. The ETM blow hurt, and Robinson being hurt. Hurt, no pun intended. So I don't understand that side. I'm not saying it won't happen. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, listen, if things continue to go the way they are, it's going to force change. That's just the league. Things are going to change. You know, I look at, let's take a break here. I look at Matt Rhule a year ago, right? First year, what happened? He's taken over more ownership of the team, cost the general manager their job. Does that mean the same thing's going to happen here with Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke? I have no idea. Of course, Trent's involved in the day-to-day. Who has final say? Who had final say? Sure sounded like Urban Meyer did on the Travis Etienne pick, right? All right, let's put a final touches on this one. Thanks for joining us.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, final moments. Tomorrow night we're on at 8 after Helmets and Hails. And then Wednesday night, 6 to 8. Got to fit Tim Brando in on Wednesday night. Boy, look at all these fire bevel. I mean, they're all over the place. Every second or third text that I get. Apologize if I didn't get a chance to respond to you tonight. I mean, literally got hundreds. For those of you who text me, you do understand that I do my best to try to get to you. But some nights I'm in the weeds here. You know? You ever a waiter? You're in the weeds? Bartender, you're in the weeds?
In the weeds?
Yeah, it's a term that they use. Yeah, in the hospitality world. So much better to be a bartender than a waiter, because someone can be like, excuse me, can you get me a clean fork? And you got to run and get that fork.
If you want the tip.
Or if you're a bartender, you got those bartender eyes. And I spent 4 years as a tender. You can kind of conveniently overlook someone who maybe is a grouch or, I don't know, not a good tipper. And then go right back to that other patron that you know is just about ready to finish their cold one and be like, would you like another one there, sir?
Oh, yeah, you got to know how to play the game.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm in the weeds tonight on the text line. Tomorrow night, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk about Florida State, Florida, any of that. It's a bizarre week where the winner gets 3 weeks to practice. I wouldn't have fired Dan Mullen the week of the game. My guess that kind of the unwritten story here, even though Scott Strickland, you know, apparently offered him the opportunity to coach against Florida State. I remember when Ron Zook was the lame duck. Yeah, he went in the Bowden when they named Bowden Field and won. It's clear to me that Dan Mullen didn't want to be the coach anymore. But I think the unwritten story here is that this change has happened, so Florida is now going to play a tremendous amount of Anthony Richardson. And that scares me. I've already have been dealing with friends of mine and others who have reached out to me, and it's like, oh, Florida State's going to kick their ass. And I'm just like, oh, drop the crack pipe. All right, Florida State is yet to play 60 minutes of football. They had a 26-3 lead Saturday and looked as though they were going to blow it. They had a 17-0 lead against Miami, and then all of a sudden they're down 8. Florida State is getting better, but for you just to think that they're going to walk into the swamp and pound Florida, think again. All right? That's going to be a game. We'll talk more about that later in the week. All right, folks, again, I never checked the text line down if the show was over. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do so is on the text line, or excuse me, the best way to do so is on Twitter. That is Baloo1010XL. Thank you to our producer, RJ Saunders. My name is Rick Baloo. We will talk with you tomorrow on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.